The text that calls for our attention this Lord's Day comes to us from our gospel lesson for the day from Matthew chapter 14, especially these couple verses. This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're told that on the day in our text, Jesus had gone away, for he had just learned that his cousin, John the Baptist, had been beheaded. But as he went away to mourn and to rest, a crowd followed Jesus. We're told that when Jesus looked upon that crowd, he had compassion on them. One of the other gospel lessons says he had compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so Jesus, rather than continuing in that rest and reflection that he had sought, he instead turned around to meet the needs of those people. We are told that he healed many who were sick. And we know also that Jesus understood that their ultimate need was that they would be filled with truth in their innermost hearts, in order that they might trust in him. As Jesus' teaching continued on, filling people with that truth, the day grew long, and the night was soon to come. In that setting, the disciples realized that soon the people would be getting very hungry, if they were not already. And so they encouraged Jesus to send the people away back into the cities and villages in order that they might purchase food and eat. To this suggestion, Jesus responded, no, you give them something to eat. The disciples that day must have wondered if Jesus had gone blind or crazy. For as he looked around, all he could see was hordes of people and very little food. Yes, the disciples saw the scarcity of 5 loaves and 2 fish. But as Jesus looked out, he saw a crowd full of people who had a very real need. Yes, once again, he looked out and saw sheep who looked like they had no shepherd, not even able to provide for their own physical needs, let alone their spiritual ones. And so most of us know the conclusion to this story. Those 5 loaves and those 2 fish indeed fed all the people that were there. 5,000 men plus all the women and children with them. And not only did it feed all of those people, but afterwards they gathered 12 baskets of leftovers. When the disciples had seen scarcity, Jesus instead provided abundance. Yes, there on that day, Jesus could have simply sat around and mourned the fact that his cousin had been beheaded. But instead, he stopped to provide for the needs of the people. He stopped to provide for their needs of body and soul. He healed their bodies. He taught their souls. And then he fed their mouths. After Jesus had ascended into heaven, the apostles were left to continue the ministry which Jesus had begun. And as they went out to do their work, they never forgot how Jesus had always provided for all of their needs. Not only their spiritual needs, but their physical ones as well. They also remembered how Jesus did this to anyone that was around him, even those who did not yet believe. Yes, the apostles understood that the very act of God taking upon flesh made clear that God was interested in more than saving souls. He was interested in saving people. Whole people, body and soul together. Yes, they knew that that is what he had come to redeem. And that's why we're told that in those first days of the church, all of the people went out and sold land and buildings. And they took that money and they placed that money at the apostles' feet, so that it could be provided to anyone that had need. First, they distributed that money to those that were of the Church of God in need. But then they took that money and gave it to anyone else who had any need. We're told that when they did this, there was no one in the early church who had any sort of physical need. And we're told that many outside of the church came to understand that the love of Christ extended to both their bodies and their souls. Yes, those outside of the church came to understand that this God that the apostles were always talking about, this Jesus who had come and had been raised from the dead, was indeed not ignorant of their struggles of body in his attempt to save their souls. They learned indeed that Jesus had come to redeem whole people, body and soul together. So following the apostles' lead, the church throughout all history has taken on this task of providing for people's needs, sometimes for their physical needs and other times for their spiritual needs. No doubt the church exists to proclaim the gospel. No doubt it exists to offer the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, and more might receive them and come to know Jesus. But the church at the same time exists to serve the physical needs of people. That is why it was the church throughout most of history that was the primary source of charity to the poor. It is why it was the church who was the first to build shelters, hospitals, and schools. That's why the church was often the first one to be there when a natural disaster had come. I fear at times that you and I, living where we do, in the country that we do, have lost the connection between redemption of body and soul. I fear at times we have come to think that the only thing the church exists to do is to provide people what their souls need, even when we overlook other people's bodily needs. I suppose there are many reasons why we tend to think this way. At first, we are often skeptical of those that have some sort of bodily or physical need. We often figure that they've probably wasted their money on something else, or will use what we give them for something we wouldn't approve of. Other times, we're simply too afraid to get that close to people that are often dirty, smelly, those who don't look a lot like us, and sometimes don't even talk our own language. And finally, it seems that somewhere along the way in the history of America, we began to believe that charity was the work of government and not church. When you and I see someone in need, we are often as likely to direct them to the SRS office as we are to direct them to our own hands for help. But do you realize that it was the church, for century after century, who went out and took care of those people who were down and out, who were out of work, who were low on food? Do you realize that it was the church who started most of the hospitals in our country, providing for people who were in dire physical straits? You realize it was the church who used to be the prime people that went in after any sort of natural disaster to help. I'm not sure exactly when in the history of this country we decided that such tasks were the tasks of government. But I am sure of this. The Christian church can never give up the task of helping people in their time of bodily need. Well, there may be times when we use the structures of government to distribute things to people in need. But we can never stop helping people's bodily needs, because it is one of the prime ways that people come to understand how much God loves them. Yes, it is central to who we are as God's people. We have received goodness from God in body and soul, and we are to provide that same help to others. It is central to the redemption that Jesus came to give. Yes, the church is to reach out in body and soul to those who have needs around it. But we never have to do so out of a sense of obligation. But rather, we get to do so out of a sense of abundance. Yes, the church that is gathered around God is well taken care of, well fed, well saved. As the church gathers around her Christ, all are satisfied. And once all the church of God have eaten to their full and their stomachs are almost overflowing, we realize that there is still an abundance left over. Just like those fragments of bread and fish that filled 12 baskets after 5,000 men, not including women and children, had eaten. The church always realizes that when it gathers together to be fed by God, there is always more than enough. And so as we in our lives receive the goodness of God for our soul, but also the goodness of God towards our body, we are blessed to take the leftovers out and share them with those around us. For when we show people that God cares enough about them to take care of both their physical needs and their spiritual needs, then they too might be led to confess, as the man did at the end of our reading today, "Surely this man is the Son of God." So we ask today, how are we doing at this task which God has left to us? How do we do at combining acts of physical mercy with our proclamation of God's salvation? Do we do that on a regular basis? Well, I suppose in some ways the answer is yes. I know that many of you, as you seek to reach out to your neighbors with Christ's love, go out of your way not only to speak about the love that God has for them, but also to take care of some of their temporal needs as they come up. I know that others of you are quick, when there is some sort of natural disaster or calamity, to write out that check and send it off to help others. And from time to time, on a local level, we hold benefits or dinners to help out those who have especially high bills. And all the time, we are also here to try and provide the gospel to all who will receive it. We pool our offerings together in order that in this place the gospel might continue to be proclaimed, and also that the sacraments might be available to all who wish to receive them in faith. But if we are honest, we must also answer the question, sometimes, no. Sometimes we don't combine our proclamation of the gospel with deeds of mercy. As a congregation, we have no money set aside specifically to help those who might be in a time of need, whether they be our members or simply members of the community. As I mentioned before, so many of us in the Christian church have begun to ignore certain real needs because we think that there has been a government agency created to deal with that. But realize each time we allow the government to do something that the Church of God used to do, we indeed rob God of some of the glory he would have received. For in the past, when people were helped, they knew that they were helped in the name of God. And now all too often, all they know is that Caesar has failed them. Yes, indeed, at times, we don't do a good job of offering people the help they need for their bodies. And on the spiritual side, sometimes we are at fault as well. For while we make sure that we have a church here that proclaims the gospel and offers the sacrament, many times we do not reach out enough to let people know that we're still out here, and that the gospel is here for all who wish to have it. And the sacraments are here for all who wish to share in them. if at times we fail to combine our acts of mercy and our proclamation of the gospel. And when we do so, we do not give people an accurate picture of the Jesus we seek to witness to. For Jesus always met both needs. He never chose to provide for the needs of the soul and leave the needs of the body unmet. He never said to anyone, go and be well, without giving them a coat or the food that they needed. Yes, today as we gather in God's house, we do so to be served. Christ indeed today, through his word proclaimed and soon through his supper given, will indeed give to us everything we need for our soul. And through many ways in our daily lives, he provides for all of our needs of body. Whether that be through the crops growing in the field, that check that our boss writes out, or through the doctors who care for us when we are sick. We are indeed that people of God that are well taken care of, well fed, and well saved. Yes, we are those people. And we are blessed then to go out as those people and share that kind of love with our community. Jesus says to us today, as he first uttered through that prophet Isaiah, come, those of you that have no money, those of you that can't pay for anything, come and eat without price. Come and be satisfied for free. I will give you all that you need, and there will be plenty left over to share. Amen.